Hi stars, you're listening to the Starzology Astrology Podcast with your host Alison Price. In this episode, we're going to be chatting with another astrologer and finding out their story about how they got into astrology. Please welcome Arwen O'Neill, who is a research astrologer here in Vancouver, and we've been friends for quite a while, and we're very happy to have you here today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great having you. Our audience is interested to know how you started out in astrology and what was the first spark of interest that you had?
Sure. Well, I actually grew up in a family of sort of casual astrologers in a way. My grandmother and my mother were both very just into astrology in a casual way. I think both of them at some point did charts for friends and you know, maybe for a living here and there. It was just part of the conversation as I was growing up. It was always like, oh, I just met this person, they're a Virgo with Leo rising, blah, blah, blah. It was always just, you know, before you'd even know what the person looked like, oh, this person was a Virgo. It was the first thing that you'd find out about somebody. My mother still to this day, when I tell her about a new friend or a new, you know, coworker, she's like, what sign are they? You know? And if I don't know, why haven't you asked? So it's just part of the conversation. And it always has been in my childhood, in my life. The first spark of interest sort of external to my family was absolutely, this is funny. This is a callback to your first episode where you talked about Sun Signs by Linda Goodman.
Yeah.
I mean, we're giving Linda Goodman a lot of airtime here, but it was love signs. I have to admit, I still have it. It's on the shelf. It's a big red book.
Linda Goodman's love signs. Linda Goodman's. Do you have the hardback copy then?
No, it's a paperback. But it's a massive tome. It doesn't need to be a hardback.
Yes.
It's got the bright, lurid red cover. Yeah, Linda Goodman's love signs. And I was 12. I was all of 12 years old. And so everything was about love. Everything was about like the one and you know, true love and just all of the romantic movies, all the romantic stories. The fact that there's Peter Pan quotes at the beginning of every chapter, which are just so poignant and true for every sign combination. And I did my sign and my boyfriend at the time and my mother and her husband and everyone all the celebrities I could think of who were couples. I would read their little, you know, chapter and found so much meaning in it. And that is definitely what sparked my interest in astrology, was being a a pubescent Linda Goodman fangirl.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So what you're saying really is that you learned about astrology almost at the kitchen table in your own home. It was
absolutely
just a matter of course that astrology was part of your life as a young girl.
Absolutely.
And were they interested in other New Age topics as well, or was it mainly astrology?
Some, yeah. I mean, we had tarot cards. We had, crystals. we had, you know, crystal necklaces and jewelry and things like that. I mean, it was the late 70s, early 80s, you know, when I grew up. So there was a lot of that kind of stuff around. And we were also, like, very much into science fiction and fantasy, like, shows and movies. One of the things I remember vividly sitting around watching Star Trek The Next Generation with my mother and my stepfather, and we would like figure out what their sun, moon, and rising signs were of all the characters.
Oh, Star Trek.
Right?
Yes.
It's just, you know, like just figuring out these fictional characters, like what signs do they embody? Like, you know, and I was watching the Picard show recently, and I texted my mother and said, Picard is totally a Taurus with Sagittarius rising and moon in Aquarius. And she was like, LOL, totally. So we've done this all our lives.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
And then when you got a bit older, did you take any formal lessons or did you just continue self-learning?
It was really just self-learning. I mean, and actually I took about probably a 20-year break almost between, you know, the Linda Goodman love signs and doing anything semi-professional or even social with it. Okay. It was all just, you know, I collected the information for myself. I would obviously find out what sign my friends and boyfriends or, you know, coworkers were, and just for my own benefit. Like sometimes they would be like, why do you want to know what time I was born? And I'm like, just for me, like, don't worry, I'm not going to, you know, do your chart or anything or like whatever. Okay. And most of them wouldn't have wanted me to.
No.
So it was just, you know, my own curiosity, so I could use the information to get along with them better. And it helped me. And occasionally they would ask, you know, but...
What was the catalyst then, like, 20 years later that brought you back? Was there something that cropped up?
Absolutely. I started asking my grandmother for book recommendations. And it's funny because this was mid-90s, late 90s, and we had just gotten a computer, which sounds so ridiculous. Yes. We had just gotten a home computer.
And the neighbors came to look, right?
Well, yeah. No, it was the internet. I mean, literally, I had the internet at work throughout the 90s, and I think it was like 98 or something when I first got the internet at home.
Right.
It sounds ridiculous to say.
I know.
Not having the internet at home. Like, what? But yeah, literally, it was just looking at websites and finding a bunch of astrology sites. I mean, a bunch back then. There were like, you know, a handful of good ones.
Yeah.
Astro.com was and still is amazing. Planet Waves I found, and Planet Waves was amazing because it was also political. And I remember the first thing that got me into it was his rants about George W. Bush and the administration and the war in Iraq. And, you know, now we're getting into the early 2000s. And his essays were, you know, it hit all kinds of different interests of mine. There was the astrology, but there was also politics. There was also social consciousness. And I remember this one article that he had written where he said, well, okay, so Mars is going to Taurus and it's going to be retrograde. And I looked at my chart and sure enough, that's, you know, I've got Mars in Taurus. And so he said, if anyone, you know, out there wants to do some research into the history of Mars in Taurus retrograde, send me some events that have happened, like major events in the past. And I thought, well, that's right up my alley. Okay. So I wrote like 3 pages of research just and sent it in, and that sparked his interest. And
so who is he?
I'm so sorry, Eric Francis of Planet Waves.
Eric Francis of Planet
Waves.
Yeah,
and he wrote back to me right away, which was, you know, it was kind of like getting, you know, a spotlight from a celebrity. And I wrote back to him, and we started a sort of a correspondence, and I ended up working for Planet Waves for like 2 years. Doing research, writing articles. I traveled to Toronto to present at a conference on my Saturn-Neptune opposition article, which became a presentation. It was sort of kind of almost the cornerstone of the conference. I mean, not to brag or whatever, but I was actually a little shocked because it was quite a prestigious conference in its way. It was kind of a small independent conference, not like these big, you know, as they put it, Davos style astrology conferences with all the celebrities. But it was you know, kind of a little bit of a big deal. And mine was one of the only presentations that didn't have a competing event at the same time. Okay. And I didn't know that until the day. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of people signed up for this one. And they're like, yeah, there's nothing else going on at this time. So I was incredibly nervous, but I did okay. I basically just read my article, but I had a big, you know, PowerPoint thing with all the photos of all these crazy events. And I basically went through the history of Saturn opposite Neptune in all these, you know, previous cycles. And, you know, so I had like the, like 1918, you know, Spanish flu and all these different sort of epic water disasters that had happened, the Exxon Valdez and the flood of New Orleans in 2005. These all kind of happened like right on the dot of Saturn-Neptune oppositions. And it was like, you know, heavy water was the name of the presentation that I did. It was like, you know, heavy water, Saturn-Neptune.
Amazing.
And so I had like this huge slideshow with all these amazing photos, and it was a lot of fun. So that was definitely the first sort of professional astrology thing that I was involved in.
And well, that sounds like it was an absolute spectacular entryway for you to to get it on a gig like that.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah. So that was 2006, and that was the first sort of re-entry into astrology.
Publicly doing astrology.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what could you tell us about? What do you really love about astrology? What is it that really attracts you to the art of astrology?
Well, I mean, for me, it really is, it's an art and a science, which is something that I love about it. I am an artist as well, but I'm sort of more of a a crafty artist than like a creative artist. I'm not to say that I'm not creative, but I sew Okay. But I sew from patterns. I don't have these visions of a garment that I need to, you know, somehow create. I can craft something impeccably as a Virgo, but with a pattern, and I can modify patterns to make something exactly as I want it. But I'm not the person who has these visions of something that doesn't exist that needs to be pulled into creation like a Pisces or something. And
so do you see astrology as, well, as a creative artwork, really?
Then? I mean, it's a creative, like the storytelling is the creative part for me. And so it's taking all these elements which exist. They are mathematical, and I'm not a math fan, but yes. What I do love about it is the precision that you can find these exact dates, these exact cycles. You can predict them way in advance, thousands of years, project them back thousands of years, and find these cycles that repeat. And then find these historical correlations, because thank God for the internet, we can find all these events. It takes very little research to say, you know, show me all of the times that Pluto has been in Aquarius, and then all of the major events that happened in those periods, and then compare them and say, oh my God, there's actually, you know, something in common with these things. And wow, what can we learn about that? What can we do to predict something into the future? And that's what I've always loved about it. It was the precision and the practicality of it, the applicability of it to our lives and to broader social and political and historical trends.
Wow! So you like the almost, let me say, the overarching cycles that are running behind in the background, not just oh, it's a new moon and blah blah.
Absolutely. Okay. In fact, I barely ever know where the moon is. It surprises me every month when I see that it's full. And my boyfriend always says, how can you not know you're an astrologer? How can you not know when the moon's full? And I'm like, it's not my thing.
It's not your thing. So it's super interesting that, yeah.
The moon's not my thing.
No, the moon's not your thing. So how would you say that you actually are using astrology today in your practice?
It's always something that I am aware of. I'm always sort of like when I'm watching Picard and I'm thinking, oh, wow, he's such a Taurus with Sagittarius rising and moon in Aquarius or what have you. And I'm really fascinated with the broader cycles, the outer planets, where Pluto is, you know, going into Aquarius, and all of a sudden we've got ChatGPT and self-driving cars.
Yes.
And it's crazy to me, like how right on the date sometimes these things are. When Uranus moved into, I believe it was Aries, back in 2011, on the day the tsunami hits in Japan.
Tragic,
and horrible, incredible, you know, tragedy. But it's these crazy events that you can kind of just see the day sometimes corresponds with a movement of the outer planets. And that's the stuff that fascinates me, is the generational cycles, but also like these major events that seem to correspond sometimes so precisely.
I mean, because we're talking that Pluto just recently went into Aquarius, 2 weeks ago from today. And honestly, I too have now got into ChatGPT, and I'm thinking, whoa.
Right.
It's transformed and revolutionized the actual, the internet and the way we use computers. Very interesting
indeed.
And
it's going to be in Aquarius for the next 40 years. And what are the next 40 years going to hold as far as AI? I mean, just that alone is a fascinating thought experiment.
That is definitely a topic for another day. I think
we'll
definitely explore that as well.
Yeah.
So now, Arwen, could you tell us a little bit about your chart, just for our listeners to get a bit of an understanding of your chart standouts, or which parts of your chart do you feel are more prominent and are drivers for you?
Sure. Well, I am a Virgo. Sort of triple Virgo. I've got I've got the sun, the moon, and Mercury all conjunct in Virgo in the 10th house. So that's definitely like my personality for sure, core personality, like everything in its place. I'm a writer, blah, blah, blah. But I also have Scorpio rising. And that is probably, you know, the most noticeable thing about me, first front and center. I, you know, even at the age of like, say 12, I went through a, not goth, but I mean, I was wearing lipstick and, you know, my hair always was a different color. And
okay. So you presented yourself.
I was always being mistaken for like 16 or 17 when I was like 12 or 13. And honestly, it was the 80s. It was a different time.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you know, there was no bad parenting involved. My mother was actually a little horrified you know, the attention that I got. But she'd seen my chart. She knew the deal, you know. Just obviously I just Scorpio rising responsibly is all I have to say about that, you know.
And so because Scorpio is rising like that, yeah. Would you say that Pluto is more dominant or Mars in your chart?
Honestly, it's both, really. It's interesting because Mars is right on my descendant. Mars in Taurus is literally conjunct my descendant. And my partner is a Scorpio. And hilariously, his sun is conjunct my rising, like within minutes. He's got 2 degrees or two degrees and like 11 minutes. And my rising is 2 degrees, 6 minutes. So we couldn't be more conjoined. Wow. And when we met, it was, I hesitate to say love at first sight, but it was crazy. And yeah, we've just been inseparable literally ever since then.
Amazing. And what about the Pluto?
The Pluto. Pluto is in my 11th house conjunct Venus. And those are in Libra.
Very feminine then as well.
Yeah, like conjunct in Libra. And yeah, my relationships have always been life or death to me. I don't understand casual relationships. I don't understand casual friendships. You know, it's all in the 11th house. I don't understand the point of being in a relationship where you wouldn't kill or die for your partner.
Wow. Kill or be killed. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily I've had, you know, incredibly good fortune or whatever you want to say to have partners who feel the same way about me.
Super intense. Yes.
Yeah. And I've been with my, you know, current partner for 25 years now.
Well, you need a medal for that one.
Yeah.
So didn't you just say that Pluto is conjoined Venus? And how do you think that may be expressed?
I was obsessed with Barbie from a very young age, and that's a Venus thing, although lots of girls were. I did go through, as I said,
dancing, a
tiny goth phase. Yes, I just recently picked up burlesque, and I also was, I drew burlesque dancers for about 10 years in, we had this thing called Dr. Sketchies, which is an art class in bars that just shut down because of COVID, sadly. This is where all my art came from the last 10 years, is drawing these beautiful burlesque dancers who would pose for 3 hours in bars. And I met a lot of these burlesque dancers who now I have actually shared the stage with over the last year since I started doing this.
So this is amazing. And we'll put a link to some of your art in the show notes below as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's super interesting that you've taken up this expression of that Venus conjoined the Pluto, I think.
It's actually hilarious. Also, my grandmother in the 1950s was a burlesque dancer briefly in Hawaii. So it's actually kind of a family thing, funnily enough. She's a Sagittarius, but whatever. It's, you know, yeah. But I definitely do see that, you know, Venus conjunct Pluto there. It's also the kind of, you know, the owning your sexuality or owning that whole thing, whatever, the empowerment sort of thing of it. It's when my grandmother was doing it in the 50s, it was definitely not really about empowerment. It was a little bit less feminist of a thing back then. But I mean, from the pictures, you'd never guess. You would just think, wow, she's owning it. That's amazing. You know, what an icon. And it was a little grittier back then. But yeah, now it's just all women. It's all, you know, well, there's also trans women. There's also, you know, wonderful male to female, female to male. Like, it's all shapes and sizes and,
in the
you
dance
know,
troupe, as it
everything.
Were.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a really amazing community. And it's a lot of fun. It's really cool.
It's quite an expression, quite a visual expression of those two energies coming together in the chart. Yeah. Super interesting.
Yeah. And also, as you say, it's in the 11th house. So that is, as you say, it's a troop, like, so there's community. The 11th house is all about your friends and your community and, you know, sort of your social
your squad.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. Squad goals. Yeah.
Great. Now, the next thing I just want to have a chat with you about is very often when people have interviews and conversations on podcasts, they do this lightning round, tea, coffee, cat or dog. But because we're astrologers, what I'm going to be doing is what we're calling the Holy Trinity, and that is your ascendant, sun, moon, in that order. And we're just going to have a quick chat about that. Could you tell us your ascendant, sun, moon?
Yes, Scorpio is Scorpio rising, Scorpio ascendant. Virgo sun and Virgo moon.
So we're saying Scorpio, Virgo, Virgo.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting because I've been looking into this pattern of the polarities of the active and passive mm-hmm. and the combinations. And I think there's only 16 combinations. I will link to the website post about this. So in your particular case, it would be passive, 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 which is a combination which actually expresses who you are in,
for sure. Oh,
in
yeah.
a very deep way. So it's super interesting. Yeah. And I believe that going forward or in the future, doesn't want to say going forward, in the future, I'd be interested to just ask those things about people's charts
yeah.
because I don't think that's giving too much away. And it's a great way to tap into the astrology rather than cat dog thing
yeah.
or coffee tea, because who? No, nobody cares. But we want to know what's your ascendant, sun, and moon.
Sure.
And of course, if you go to an astrology conference and you have that little tag on your
yeah.
shirt, it says ascendant, sun, moon.
I wish people had to wear those everywhere.
Yeah. And then you go up to the people and think, yeah, no, I'm not going to talk to that one. Let me talk to this one, because you can see what their signs are.
Right.
So that's a super interesting thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Arwen, if our listeners would like to see some of your artworks, is it okay if we put a link in the show notes?
Absolutely.
Where they can see the type of work you're doing?
Absolutely. That would be great.
Lovely. Well, thank you very much for being here with us today. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starzology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.